I'd like to call to order Rexford Broadview Heights Board of Education meeting, regular meeting Monday, November 18, 2013, at the Education Center at 7 p.m. This is a meeting of the Board of Education public for the purpose of conducting the school district's business, and is not to be considered a public community meeting. There's time for public participation during the meeting as indicated agenda item. Roll call, please.
Mr. Dawson?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Tryon?
Yes. Please join me in the pledge allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next item is the approval of the agenda. Do we have any addendum items?
It's not really an agenda item, or an addendum, but I want to read a document that came to us from the Brecksville Department of Human Services later on in the communication part of the agenda.
Okay. I want to entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Mr. Dawson?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Tryon?
Yes. Passes 5-0. Resolution, item D, resolution to approve the minutes of the meetings of October 28, 2013, and November 10, 2013, as set forth in tab 1. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion, questions? Roll call, please.
Mr. Dawson?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Tryon?
Yes. Passes 5-0. Item E, resolution to approve the financial reports of October 2013, as set forth in tab 2. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Mr. Redine?
Thank you. In your materials, but as well as up on the board, I've gone to the second tab of the 10 for the forecast comparison fiscal year to date. And there are some different numbers here this month, obviously, because it's a new month, but also because the forecast estimates are based upon the forecast that was approved last month. So you'll see that some of these numbers are closer than in past months. But on the revenue side, the taxes, we've settled for the first half with the county, so we came within about $40,000 on that estimate. On the general property taxes, $4,000 on the tangible personal property, which is now really just public utility personal property that is categorized in there. The unrestricted grants and aid, which is primarily our foundation payments from the Ohio Department of Education, that should get back. We know that the number that's in the estimate is the number on the current estimate that the Department of Ed is producing for us. So anticipate that over the remaining months that will come back pretty darn close to zero. And in the all other operating revenues, again, we feel good with the number in the annual estimate. I have every reason to believe that's as solid as we could have at this point in time. And there are some timing issues by using just the application of the percentages by month from last fiscal year this year. We've had the changes that I've noted for a couple of months now on timing of all-day kindergarten, some out-of-district tuition payments and things like that. So overall, on the revenue side, you can see a variance of about $81,000 for the first 4 months of the fiscal year, so a third of the way through. On the expenditure side, personnel were about $72,000 under on our estimate at this point in time. The biggest piece of that is we have some grants that are to be charged for personnel costs. Those have been in the general fund, and those are correctly charged in the CCIP grant application with the state and in our payroll system now beginning in November. So that should start to adjust itself back as well. Pretty close on insurance to retirement to this point in time. Purchase services, we know that the budgeted number is what it is. Believe those variances in purchase services and supplies to be a matter of timing, as we talked about last year. If we end up good there, it's the budgets are established, they could be spent. We don't have any reason to think there's some major expense in there that won't occur. But if something doesn't happen because winter's milder, we don't buy as much salt, we don't pay as much utilities, anything like that, we'll be happy to have the additional carryover as we move forward. So we do, largely because of that $300,000 in the purchase service area, we're showing a surplus of about $358,000, so in total about $400,000. But not, again, nothing at all in either revenue or expenditure category that would cause me to change any of our positions at this point in time. Questions?
Questions, comments? We just last month approved our five-year forecast, so any comments, I take it that nothing that has happened this month has changed anything materially to our five-year forecast. Is that accurate?
Completely accurate, yes, sir.
Okay. Any comments or questions? Roll call, please.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Tryon?
Yes. That's 5-0. MF, other business of the treasurer, CFO. I had one change in the 2013-14 high school magazine fee for German 1 and German 2 from $24 to $8. And approval participation in the Ohio School Boards Association Legal Assistance Fund for calendar year 2014 for a fee of $250. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any comments, questions? What does the Legal Assistance Fund do for us again?
It's a statewide fund of participating school districts where the Ohio School Boards Association will file a friend of the court brief in matters of legal significance statewide to all districts. So they collect the pool of funds. The district, I know it's participated at least two prior years, and I suspect quite a few longer than that, that the board has chosen to join that.
Do you know the percentage of boards that do participate in that?
I do not.
Okay, roll call, please.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Tryon?
Yes. Passes 5-0.
Thank you.
Item G, communication. Minimum school year requirements, ORC 3313.48. Mr. Crumbles?
I would like to read from the Department of Human Services. This is from Ted Lux, the director. This is to Bob Shank, our cross-country coach. It says, we received this about 6 days ago. Thank you for the wonderful stash of food donated to by the cross-country team to our food pantry program. Food is dropped off all the time, but rarely in the quantity, so it really caught my eye. We're so blessed that the high school students want to be involved in our community. So many things are going on in their lives, and therefore I think it's admirable that they think of others, especially the less fortunate. Many of the recipients of food from both the food pantry and the Yuletide Hunger Program are families with young people in school. So in many ways, the cross-country runners are helping kids who may sit next to them in class. Thanks again, Bob, to you and the kids. Sincerely, Ted Lux. So I think that's nice that our kids get involved and participate in those things.
In what capacity did he send that to us again?
He is the director of the Department of Human Services.
Okay. Excuse me one second. Mr. Tomek, can you turn the lights, please?
Sure.
Thanks.
That you were going to get him.
Starting in 2000.
Stop that talk.
Starting.
Bring enough gum for everybody.
Board members, you have a document in your possession that looks like this. If you would refer to it, please.
Starting in the 2014-15 school year, due to 3313.48 in the Ohio Revised Code, the minimum school year will no longer be based on a number of days students are in attendance or are required to attend. Starting in 14-15, it will be based on a minimum number of hours. The Excel document presented to you by me provides transitional information which indicates how our district will meet the new requirement with need for no changes in our current building schedules. So if you're looking at that, with the exception of our half-day kindergarten schedules, our calculations estimate, using the new requirement as the new minimum, our all-day kindergarten through grade 3 students exceed the minimum standards by approximately 111 hours or 19 days in our schedule. Central School by as many as 248 hours or 39 additional days. The middle school students will be in session approximately 173 hours more than the requirement, which is equal to 26 days. And high school students will be in session about 203 hours more than required by this new standard, nearly 30 days of instruction that our students will receive beyond the minimum. This new legislation requires districts in full year session, as we are, to comply with a 2.5 hour day for kindergartners, 5 hours for grades 1 through 6, and a 5.5 hour schedule for grades 7 through 12. I'd like for you to pay attention, please, or take a closer look at the kindergarten at the bottom of the page. It does get a little tighter with the half day, every day, other day model that we have in our school district. This year's Monday, Wednesday, Friday calendar, if it was to be applied to this minimum, only offers 4 days more than the minimum requires, and the Tuesday, Thursday, Friday model provides 8 more days, hours. These must be considered things need to be considered when we factor in snow or calamity days in the future. If for some reason we go beyond 4, the Monday, Wednesday, Friday half-day schedule that we currently have in place would be required to make up those days. I do not believe, unless a truly unforeseen tragedy occurs, that any of our other levels within the district would be impacted by that. I guess the good news right now is the new minimum standard is very much the minimum standard when you consider the amount of time that our students are in session. And we talked again today in our response to intervention meeting that Dr. Simsek ran or facilitated, that the teachers at the elementary are seeking more time for students in the elementary because of the early literacy issues that we have that we're dealing with, as are other schools. There's some other nuances. The calculation that is included requires that scheduled classes, supervised activities, and approved educational options, and up to 2 days per year for parent-teacher conferences and 2 days for professional development meetings are also included in the calculation. So typically we had waiver days. We would not have to apply for waiver days under this schedule, but we would certainly still be in session more days than would be required. We are now required to hold a public hearing. This is the new part of the bill as well. We're required to have a public hearing 30 days in advance of the board actually making a final decision on the new calendar. So we're going to use that model this year, but because it is the 14-15 calendar. What has happened in the past is the calendar has come to the board having gone through a review process within our staff and within Kathy Harbinak, but this year we will bring the calendar to you in the December month, and we will have to wait 30 days before the board can officially make it the schedule for the upcoming school year. It gives families and other organizations who work within our school system and work with our school system opportunity to review that.
How are we going to communicate that out? We're going to send it through a community?
Absolutely.
Okay.
What we're required to do as part of this is we're required to have a contract, so to speak, with those school districts that we collaborate with. So the CVCC and other charter and non-public schools that we transport students to and from, we are responsible for creating a schedule and giving, or a calendar and giving it to them in advance as well so that they can take a look at it. Now, we have done that year after year after year after year. I think maybe in some other circumstances across the state that hasn't worked as well as we've done it here. But that's a requirement of the law. So the new process will be that we will go to our teachers and we will work with in-house. We will come with the two calendars that the board has asked for in the past. We'll give the board the right or the responsibility to make a choice as to which calendar you prefer for the school district. We then post that calendar for 30 days. And then when we come back in the next meeting, then the board will officially adopt that for the upcoming school year. Prior to that happening, we will have done all of the homework required by law to make sure that the CVCC and other school districts that we work with will be in compliance with what they're doing. It kind of keeps our schedules on the same pace. If you have a student at CVCC and you have a spring break here and then you have a spring break there and they're on different spring breaks, then that's 10 days as opposed to 5 where the student's schedule is mixed up. And you also have some circumstances like that, but our parochials work very closely with us, and we're pretty well aligned as far as that goes.
We don't intend to make any changes on the hourly basis, or I do not intend to recommend to the board that we make any changes that are any different than what we currently offer for our families. We're going to stay with the same, you know, 179-day calendar, and we will perform the requirements that we need to do this year. And as things change over time, negotiated contracts and other discussions that we have, then this hourly thing may become more of an issue for us as a school district. So for now, we're going to comply with what we need to do for 14-15, and that is required legislation in the Ohio Revised Code 3313.48.
How are we going to communicate that out to parents?
We're going to post that.
On our website? Oh, mm-hmm. Oh, can we send it out in an e-communication? Like, could Kathy send that out possibly?
Sure. Okay.
And that, really, I mean, it's for the purposes of communication, isn't it the same type of communication that we do annually anyway? Or is there something different in the way we communicate?
Kathy, we don't actually have parent, we have not had, we've done it through surveys, and we get it through our school surveys at the end of the school year when parents provide information back to us on certain issues, and we take all that into consideration. But we've never, it'll be much like a textbook choice that the board makes, where we'd bring the textbook here, the board would initially say, yes, this is the direction we're going, we make it available to the public, we provide that information, we take feedback, and then the board makes the final decision, and we would provide you with the feedback that we received, in addition to probably some that you would receive on the board webpage.
Okay.
Just a question about the calamity days. Previously, and still now, if we have we're allowed 5 snow days. We hit a 6th snow day, then we have to make that up.
Right.
Now, with the way they're doing it, and with the schedule, if we end up with 6 snow days, we don't have to make up any of an additional day with the possible exception of kindergarten. Is that right?
True. However, I'd still like to work it out with our teachers, and that's part of the conversation that we've always had with our teachers. Anytime we went beyond the 5 days, there's a discussion that occurs based on our negotiated contract of how that day is made up.
Right.
I am not a proponent of having 10 snow days and not making up any days because the state says we've met the minimum standard. I'd like to have those days made up for instructional purposes.
Yeah, and I'm simply asking about the state requirement, not
right.
What we do internally. So, because obviously we're here to educate our kids not to have snow days. As much as the kids would like.
But if we do get to the fourth, you know, if we get beyond the fourth day, then we absolutely must have those students come back.
You know, having had a kindergartner who was Monday, Wednesday, Friday, the holidays tend to happen and our days off happened on the Monday and the Friday. And the year my daughter was in it, she was 8 days educationally short of her cohort, you know, cohorts who had gone the Tuesday, you know.
And then 14 days
and then
more
if you
short
added that,
of the all-day,
so,
everyday kids.
So the bigger hindrance was actually when the holidays fell for the Monday. That was my
and
year.
You're
so.
Absolutely correct. And when your daughter went through, since that time, we've made some adjustments so that now it's not full 8. There are 4 days, you know, so we've been able to tailor it down. But it is kind of difficult. You're right, just the way those holidays fall across a year.
What was the rationale, do you know, for the state to change this? I mean, it seems like from a calamity day standpoint, they really lowered the bar.
I think they're tired of being in the business of the waiver days, and you know, they want to try to provide local school districts
stability.
More control over their schedules. And certainly with all of the new things in education, they want to give us as much opportunity to meet their unfunded mandates as we possibly can put together.
They don't set minimum requirements of hours per school day then, is that true?
They do. You have to have 2.5 hour days if you're in kindergarten, you have to have a 5 hour day if you're
okay.
in grades 1-6, and you have to have a 5.5 hour day for 7-12.
How does that roll out with like other like phys ed, you have to have X amount of, or have they gotten rid of that requirement where you had to have X amount of hours in phys ed? And music.
Because our day isn't going to change dramatically, we're going to be in the same sequence.
Right,
and you still have to have a proportional amount of time in those courses that you would with the new schedule, whatever you would change it to.
I would think it got confusing because usually those are the ones that are thrown, if we have like an assembly, if you will, then those are canceled. And because the gym's a shared facility, then that's canceled. So I didn't know, have we looked at how that starts impacting those? And I don't know. You wouldn't just make up phys ed, for example, if you didn't hit the minimum amount of hours. Has that ever happened, or?
Not to my knowledge.
The operating standards do not call for minimum time in subjectivity.
They don't?
Not at all.
Okay. I was back in the first half of my career, right? Okay, got it.
But the flip side to this is that if students come in and then weather gets bad and we send them home early, they can get credit for, like, for example, the kindergarten, where they're tighter with only a 4-day cushion.
I need to get closer into the into the document, but the 2.5 hours, you can't get partial credit anymore. You either have to be here or you're not. I read that in the. Of course, I didn't highlight that part.
So if you
didn't
sent
anticipate
them home,
that question, but I do know that you can't have partial days any longer.
Well, you cannot.
A day is counted as a day.
Oh.
So if they come, that's a day.
Hmm?
Okay.
Second page 9A, he speaks to that.
Well, this will be interesting to see how it.
It's a non-event for us.
It seems like it. I think the kindergarten, like he said, it just depends
tighter,
on that given year.
Okay.
4 days is close.
Anything else? All right, item H. Did you have any other communications?
Nope.
Renee, hearing of the public. Persons wishing to address the Board of Education may do so at this point. No formal action will be taken on subjects that are not included on this agenda until the Board has an opportunity to study them. Comments regarding personnel must be submitted in writing through the Office of the Superintendent. In order for the Board to complete the planned agenda in an effective and efficient manner to provide submission opportunities for members of the public to be heard, hearing of the public shall be limited to a maximum of 30 minutes, during which each speaker shall be limited to a maximum of 3 minutes. Anyone would like to be heard? Okay, hearing no one. Item I, administrative reports and discussion. Item 1, Drexel Broadview Heights Board of Education 2014 meeting dates as supported in tab 4, and then student enrollment update. Let's go to tab 4, Mr. Troubles.
If you take a look at tab 4, you see that we have Tuesday, January 7th as an organizational meeting to start at 5 o'clock, and then we have Monday, January 27th, and then after that, I guess the reason for this to be provided to the board is to see if there's anything, since you've had an opportunity to review it, any date that won't work that we might want to make an adjustment on now.
Can I ask not to do 5? That's very difficult on me with coming off of work.
What would you like?
5:30 would be better than just 5.
Everybody okay with that? Are we talking on all 3 of those dates, Kathleen?
That would be helpful. I know I'd asked that in the past.
August 4th, is that one that you want to move to 5:30?
I probably will be gone for Boulder when they go to Nationals, so I don't want it. That's 5 is okay.
that's East Coast time.
But then 5:30 on October 13th, obviously.
Yes, please.
Okay. No problem.
Thank you.
Mrs. Bernauer, these dates will affect you. Are these okay with you? Okay.
What's the March thing? I know I'm probably just missing something. How come March is 17th and
probably spring break?
24th.
Probably a holiday in there.
That's St. Patrick's Day.
It is St. Patrick's Day.
And that's why I'm wondering why we moved it to
that's
there.
That's upsetting Mike. You don't mess with the St. Patrick's
March Day. March is spring break.
Next week would be break.
Oh, it is
break. Next week would be spring break.
That's fine. Because I was saying, I know Easter can't be that early. But.
Can we have our high school march in the St. Patrick's Day Parade this coming year?
Can we have that?
Yeah, let's let them have the day off and, sing that.
I don't know if I want to get the Catholic
schools.
Have you ever been down there?
Yes, as a kid.
I'm just joking.
Okay, I was gonna put in the notes.
As an adult 2 years ago, it was not a good idea.
It's really bad as a kid.
I don't know if I want my kid down in St. Patrick's. I've been down there as an adult.
All right.
Just as a technical item, I'm not sure if we can call it a special meeting if it's scheduled as part of the annual calendar. Not that it matters, because we're gonna have it anyway, but I'm not, I picked up on that last week at one of our sessions. So look into, we'll have it anyway, we'll just not call it special, call it additional.
And not so special, maybe.
Not
supplemental?
Ordinary. Yeah, I think you gotta use another word, yeah.
Just meeting, right? We can have as many meetings as we want.
Extra meeting, just not special.
Non-special meeting.
So Scott, you'll rename that on the calendar for us? Supplemental or just meeting, whatever you wanna do.
You wanna call it a supplemental meeting?
Yeah, that sounds great. Did they say that was okay? Would they say it was wrong?
We should get the right term. I don't think that's a statutory definition.
Meaning.
I don't think so.
I think it has to be regular, special, or emergency. There's only three types.
Regular, special.
So it's probably a regular in the context of being.
It's a regular meeting that we have every year to make sure that we get all of our staffing done.
Yep.
So we should probably just call it a regular. There's only three types.
Thank you.
Student enrollment update.
Last month, we gave you an update on the student enrollment. The meeting was packed with other agenda items, so we wanted to provide a little bit more specific information for you in regard to where we are with student enrollment, where we are with our projections, and what we see in the not too distant future. So, Rich, you would, please.
Thanks, Mr. Preble, Mr. Brown on the board. Welcome, everyone.
Ready?
For those of you unfamiliar, annually in October, we give the board an update of where our enrollment was as compared to how we ended the year. We do that in October because we have a count week for the state of Ohio, which we officially have to give the count of students. This is just kind of a summary at the top of where we were by grade bands in June of 2013, as compared to when we came back in October 2013. So again, you see that the K-3 band in the district had 1,005 students that left in June. We push everybody up a grade. In October, we have 998. So we were down 7 students in that grade band. So the first 3 columns just reflect June to October and the differential. Okay, so in K-12, we were down 74 students, all right? Last year, we also indicated it was time to do a new enrollment study to get new projections. We used the Young-Healy to make those projections. That is the fifth column, the Young-Healy projections. You see those numbers. And the last column are the projection numbers versus what actually occurred in October. So even though we're down 74 students from the previous year, we are 65 above what they projected. And those of you that have been here regularly in the board know that a lot of that happened at first grade because we added a first grade class in August. So that was something we could not foresee at the time. Those early grades are difficult. You get the birth counts and the projections and all of that, and then who comes. A guess is that some people went to some sort of kindergarten program that might have been an all day, because one of our variables is all day kindergarten, okay? Whether it's here or it's elsewhere. And many of them might have come back to our program in first grade after having that all day, every day experience. But that was a little aberration. It didn't fit the pattern of previous years from the enrollment study.
Rich, I was gonna ask, with the reduction in our all-day kindergarten fee, what was the net effect of that?
We had way more kids in all day, but we almost hit the kindergarten projection right on the nose.
Okay.
Still, which if we didn't do that, we might have been down several students.
Okay.
I think we got more.
Right.
But it's, again, it's guesswork.
Right.
It's guesswork. So you have some other supporting documents following this one. This is the only one we're gonna put up for everybody, but so our observations district-wide are our 13-14 enrollment declined at a slower rate than projected, all right? We were down only 74, but the projection were ahead 65, so we were better. We are not meeting strategic vision class size targets. Now the board has some other handouts, and if you reference them, as Mr. Prebles has talked over the last year or so to groups and to you and to us, we've been talking about kindergarten class sizes at about 20 maximum. That's kind of our target. And we've mentioned in these meetings that the grade 1 to 3 maximum we hoped we can get was 23. That's the green highlighted things on the next page. And above grade 3, we basically said maximum of 25. So we have to look at some of these numbers. Again, those of you that have been following the discussion know that Mr. Prebles has made the point that when we had to make the reductions in the past because of our financial situation, if we correlated the number of certificated staff we reduced compared to the student enrollment, we probably took a sizable portion of staff that was beyond what we would have hoped. So because we're not meeting strategic vision class size targets, based upon this information, our third point, we do not anticipate significant, if any, 2014-15 staff reductions. And you can see on your pages the highlighted areas where we're not even close. And we'll do some more study of this, because what's going to happen when we bump up these kindergarten numbers? What happens when you bump up each grade? Now, I'll make a quick one on the elementary. When I look at third grade, there's 11 sections. Going into fourth grade, we bumped that maximum number to 25 kids. So if you look at those numbers, it looks like if we kept 11 sections at fourth grade, we're going to be within our target compared to what's in fourth grade now. But our fourth grade targets going to fifth grade with 11 sections standing as they are keeps us with those high numbers.
Rich, how does one teacher have 31 and then one have 27 in grade 4?
And again, I can't answer that. It might be because of our math program or one of our programs with accelerated math or something. Why an administration or whatever has to put a couple extra kids in a certain section? I don't have that answer. But I'm thinking it might be related to some of our opportunities for gifted or enriched programming and qualifying students. Carla's nodding, so I think that's probably some of the reason. Same thing in the middle school and high school, there's great ranges in some of the areas. And again, because programming is so different with specials, kids that take band or choir versus something else. Or such. So you have certain things that just don't schedule exactly at middle school and high school. And high school will still look at their numbers for second semester classes. Some of them that are on my list are second semester classes that still may not go. Kids may have to go into another course. They still look at recruiting over the first semester for second semester to try to get numbers. I'd ask you to look at the high school. I'm not gonna have you look, but when you have time, look at the places where we're combining, especially in world language, where you're combining two types of German 3s or 4s. You have an honors and a regular. So we teach them in the same room and differentiate the instruction, or else we'd be really struggling with the numbers to offer the courses at all, or the program that meets the student's needs. But that's all I'm really prepared to say at this point. Some of the variables are, when you look at this and plan for next year, what's the budget going to tell us? What's space tell us? Space is an issue sometimes. The variable is the all-day kindergarten and people's preference. Some of the variables are people that prefer a private education and we don't really know that till they start school.
If we know that there's a certain target, like at Central, if it is the gifted program, then can we have that information? So then maybe we can look at that in our, because that is one of our visions, is to, you know, expand certain things with STEM or opportunity. But could we know? Because the one is 33 compared to 27 in the fifth grade.
Well, we...
But that might be something that needs to be brought to our attention and maybe we need to look at.
Okay. In the strategic vision that the board approved, the line item that the board approved has the numbers, the targeted class sizes. So we will continue to bring that information to the board. Some of those turn out to be singletons or doubletons, and if you have 32 kids in there,
sure,
then you're looking at 16 and 16, and then that...
Sure. But if we see a pattern that it's a
sure.
specific program, we should be aware of that.
I think you'll see that as you go up through
right.
the honors and the,
sure.
and the advanced, where there's, when you get into the high school and you start to look at the AP courses.
And there's tons of kids in that one, and one in the classes, which I've heard.
You'll find those.
Yeah.
Or fewer than average. But I think a lot of the discussion that we've had over the months has been, hey, your enrollment has gone down by 74 people or 1.8%. How come we're not seeing commensurate reductions? Well, the answer is because we're still above our target class sizes. That's why.
Exactly.
I don't want to reduce headcount and cause larger class sizes.
You know, do we have access to what we believe would be accurate enough real estate information to know how much of this bulge is maybe related to the fact that we went through probably 4 or 5 years where there wasn't a whole lot of home movement going on here, so it looks like the enrollment's going down because kids are getting out of school and aren't new ones coming in. Now I think we're turning over all the homes that are in the, say, $300,000 down. Realtors are calling, looking for listings. So, I mean, some of this, that 65 might end up being a bigger number going forward if it's a more permanent increase based on the fact that we're getting some real estate turnover, because I do think that has to be some of what.
Well, my opinion would be that that's probably going to have some small amount of change annually, which becomes a bigger number down the road. But with, I'm still concerned looking at kindergarten still at like 230, and remember we've been graduating classes of 400, 390.
Yeah, no, no.
It's still
yeah.
a huge difference of these people moving forward versus who's moving out. So
but
it'll still take some
true,
substantial work of that
no
type.
That.
Yeah.
Well, the other
it's
thing
like
to take away is
that
enrollment study that was done is only how many months old?
A year.
But there has to be a
was
way
it
to
that
figure
long?
That in.
Yeah. Last November we got the initial
and
thing.
It's
so January I think we got the final.
So you take those enrollment studies with a large grain of salt.
Yeah.
The one we had done 10 years ago said we needed a new building.
Right, because the numbers were way
yeah.
up.
Mr. Ziegler, the Snowville project, where they had intended to have a home-a-rama or a home,
yeah.
has scaled back to maybe not doing that because there aren't the builders that are apparently prepared to put that much in
up.
One spot and
okay.
not have a real clear idea of what the future might hold. So I think that that particular piece of property might give us some indication on new builds if that takes hold, but I think you're right. There's a lot of homes that have sold in the last year that have been sitting on the market for quite some period of time.
I just think some neighborhoods are turning over. I know some neighborhoods are turning over, but I'm just saying maybe that's on a broad enough basis, and I don't know Broadview Heights hardly at all. I mean, you know, it just could be that now the dam is breaking a little bit, and it's early, I think. Obviously, the economy's not booming, but real estate has, again, within certain price ranges, has improved, and it just... I mean, it just could be. Maybe we're going to see, you know, more younger families wanting to get into our school district again, and maybe they'll be able to afford it. So
and,
these numbers
and,
may stay.
Hopefully that's the case, but as Mr. Jansen said, I mean, we just want to keep being
yeah.
aware. We've got some numbers that don't meet our targets, and if we still see drops for a little bit, it still doesn't necessarily mean those are staffing attritions that match those. Thank you.
Yeah, if I could just ask, first of all, thanks very much for doing this. It's very helpful to see these numbers. I don't remember seeing a chart like this before. You may have presented, I just don't recall it, but this is very helpful, I think.
No, we haven't gone to this degree with the explanation, but again, this is the first year after the study, and, and we're trying to get better numbers for you to understand if we come to you with a scenario for staffing, you have some idea why that might be the case now.
And it's also helpful that, so if we see any dips in our academic performance, we can see if there's any correlation between that and some of these numbers. Obviously, everybody in the world, in the country, is being asked to do more with less, and we're no different. And I know that this is causing some strain on our teachers to have larger classes. And so we appreciate their willingness to endure. Probably at some point we may need to make some changes in the future. But I also had one question about Chinese 1. We only have 2 to 3 students in Chinese 1?
Well, there's some middle school students, so they're combined. So that was just the high school kids that sign up, but they go to class with the middle school kids. So if you look at Chinese 1 in the middle school.
It doesn't matter how old you are when you take Chinese 1.
There are 11, there are 24 in Chinese 1 in the middle school.
Okay, because I was wondering how we got from 2 to 3 up to 19 to 20. And
some of those accelerate a year by taking it in 8th grade.
Yeah.
And because there's not that many left in 9th grade.
Wow.
They take it with the 8th grade students.
Yeah, okay. All right.
I just had a couple other quick comments, and I would echo Dave's comments about the usefulness of this. This is very helpful and appreciate that. And I would like to see this as an annual November item to have this refreshed for at least for the coming year, so we can track against the projections to see how far off we are. And in that regard, it'll be helpful maybe to put when the DeJong Healy projection was actually made, like you thought it was sooner. I kind of did too, but if it was actually a year, to kind of
note. Well, we started the work in November and finalized, we presented to the board
January.
In January.
Right. And in the.
Time flies.
Yeah, and in the vein of trying to make sure this doesn't slip through the cracks, and I think we had talked about this at some point in the past, but most of our meetings, we have a template of things that we cover, and then we have extra things based on what's going on. Might be good if we could have those out there for each month so that we could drop this in saying in our November agenda, there's a standing item that says review enrollment, since we get numbers out every October, Rich, is that?
We count week in October, and then I go back and get the principal schedules and stuff and count up the sections and look at the enrollments in each period or whatever to give you the ranges.
Right.
And yeah, it's simple. I mean, it's a simple thing.
Okay.
This is along your comments. This is aligned with what we do with our employee count comparison. We're starting to become more specific about dates and times that we're giving information for the board for planning purposes, like you're asking for.
Right.
This truly is a brand new document at this level. Providing the board this additional information, and when Rich and I looked at this the other day, we thought, there's been so much discussion, like Mr. Jansen said, we're falling in enrollment. Why are we maintaining our staffing? We wanted to try to help the board continue to see the issues that we're dealing with in the classroom and how that is related to the five-year forecast, the strategic vision, the staffing, and all the others. So I think your comment is a good one, and this is one that we'll bring back year after year because I think it works well for us.
Yeah, and I think this is something too that we can build on. Maybe put a chart on there for the last 10 years. You can kind of see some trend lines, so you can see which direction is it heading. The only other thing I had was we had gotten some different projection numbers, and they weren't as granular from TDA when they did our facilities plan.
Right.
Can we put, and I'm trying to remember, what level did they go down? Were they just kind of at the macro level of like students, total students?
It basically said it's just gonna continue the same as it is right now, as I recall.
Okay.
They didn't see any decline. They just assumed that people would move in.
I thought they saw decline, but it just, it wasn't at the same level as this.
I think just insignificant. That's my memory.
Okay. Decline?
I think it had a little bit, yeah, because they couldn't argue with the trend line, it's already.
Because that's where the discussion started, is with the decline, like, yeah. I don't remember how much it was.
We have to remember that that report was called into question by our treasurer on some of the assumptions that they made regarding the classrooms.
Yeah, the capacity.
So, I'd like to offer to the board that we stick with DeYoung. We'd be mindful of that other report. But DeYoung is a company that is, specializes in this, even though,
well,
it's a projection that changes.
They're significantly off this month for this year.
Well, they're 1.8%, which is 91.2.
Yeah.
It's like a weather. 98.2.
Depends what you're measuring. They said we're gonna lose about 120, and we only lost half that. So if you measure it that way, it's a little different percentage. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's just, we don't need to criticize it. It is what it is, but we've got the information.
It's like a weather forecast. The further you get out, clearly,
exactly,
but we
exactly.
No, but the only thing is that you know, you communicate that out. It does kind of, it does at that point in time become detrimental for the message, and there, it looks like you're contradicting, you know. So,
well,
you just need to be careful. Like you
well,
said,
if we do what Mr. Dosen is suggesting, then we're tracking it yearly against what the projection
seems
was.
Seems like a.
Yeah.
And that's prudent on our part,
right,
or the board's part.
Right. We have control over it.
Absolutely. So we will bring it back.
Okay.
And in, Rich, when do we give the numbers? That comes with staffing, so that's June-ish. We're good.
Enrollment numbers again?
Student selections and staffing for the upcoming year. We're still pretty far down the road. That's June. And we've been, that's all been sort of an open book, so to speak, with the board, so you have a sense of what teachers we need and what levels and so forth and so on, and the board has always been working with us on that, so that won't change over the upcoming year.
You're talking like April 15th, like the lack of better terms, the RIF list, like, so is that what you're talking about?
Just what our student selection, we're going to talk about the selection guide tonight, what comes from the student selections. We have a sense of what's going to happen with our elementaries through sixth grade for the most part, and then after that it's student selected, and then that changes some of the things that we do as far as the high school, as far as certifications and where we need teachers in classrooms based on student choices. But again, as closely as even we predict, we ran into the first grade issue this year where we didn't anticipate that many students would come into the district at that particular grade level.
This is not all of our high school classes listed in here, is it?
Yes.
I believe it is.
No. Really?
Remember now, there are multiple sections of ESA.
Okay. Item J, unfinished business. Listen to that. Item K, new business, personnel and contract recommendations as per the attachments. Results
accept personnel and contract recommendations detailed in the tab items listed below as per the dates, terms, and other applicable conditions specified. Item A is the certificated license recommendations, tab 5. Item B, extracurricular recommendations, tab 6. Item C, classified staffing recommendations, tab 7. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Mr. Crumbles.
In regard to this, the employee count comparison that we provide to the Board of Education shows that there was literally, other than beekeepers, no movement in either direction. So this month's personnel items are pretty much insignificant things that happen across the course of a year. So there aren't any changes except for beekeepers.
Cool.
discussions, comments?
For extracurricular, for the girls' teams, so those are on, those two gentlemen already are coaches for the boys, correct? Mr. Lee and Mr. Maurer. So, I don't know, I'm trying to do it. I should have asked this before, I apologize. The question was, is are they doing boys and girls at? Oh, okay. They're only doing one of the.
Anything else? Roll call, please.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Tryon?
Yes, passes 5-0. Item two, general, resolved to approve the Brecksville Broadview Heights Board of Education meeting dates for 2014 as per board agenda item 1.1, tab 4. And be resolved, select blank as first president or pro tem for the January 2014 organizational meeting of Brecksville Broadview Heights Board of Education. Anybody want to volunteer for that? Kathleen did it for the past 2 years. She can do it again, or somebody
else.
No,
thank you. Thank you very much, though. Thank you.
Just a reminder, all it is calling the meeting to order and then having the election of the officers. Mr. Dosen, how about you? You can handle this.
Very well. Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you. And you can say you were president pro tem. That'll be an exciting thing.
Fulfill a life's dream.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a special time, Mark.
I know.
It is.
A special 3 minutes. Item C, resolve to approve the agreement for admission of tuition pupils to the Cuyahoga East Vocational Education Center program between Brecksville Broadview Heights Schools and Mayfield Board of Education for the purpose of providing vocational education programs for handicapped students the 2013-2014 school year, set forth in the attachment tab 8. And D, resolve to approve revisions to the 2014-2015 high school options book as set forth in the attachment tab 9. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Tab 8 is a document that represents our services to two students who attend the CEBEC Career Center. The services that are provided there better meet the needs of the students, and though this is not the deciding factor, are at a more reasonable cost to the Board of Education than if we did that in-house, because they have the services, the programming, and the materials necessary for these students to have a very high quality opportunity at that particular career center, which also is not available at our own CVCC, and that's why we moved to that particular option for these students. In tab 9, the options book, you should have received a copy. This is the same process that comes out every year. There are some changes in the book, a few, but for the most part, kids choose from the courses in here. We add up those selections, we begin to put those students into class sizes, and then we begin our staffing process and making sure that the programming is in place to provide these students the services that they selected. Places where we have tight spots or we don't have enough students who sign up for the courses, as we've done in the past, we work with the counselors to find a better option for those students, or there are certain circumstances where other students are brought into that to increase the capacity so that it meets the expectation of the board to make sure that we're staffing courses in the most effective and efficient way. So we're about ready to enter that process again. It's hard to believe we're already ready to go into the next school year, but that's the book.
So just for clarification, everything in here is on this sheet with the exception of the CVCC classes?
That's my understanding.
Okay.
It's thicker when you talk, when you put text with each course. There's a description in there. I mean, for the people out there,
yeah,
just so they know.
Well, also, I didn't realize the CVCC class. I had forgotten that the CVCC classes are in there as well. So that's, but, and those are not on this.
Correct.
Correct. Yeah. questions, discussions? Roll call, please.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Tryon?
Yes. Passes 5-0. Committee reports, financial liaison audit committee. Anything on that? Permanent improvement committee? Anything? Okay, transportation appeals committee? Nothing on that. Board policy committee? Still haven't met. Need to? That's coming up, I presume.
We need to. I'm reviewing this Wednesday with the administrative cabinet members. The changes that are recommended, we'll have the red line version that we're working with Cheryl to make sure that when it comes to the board, you can see what language has changed from the past or is recommended for the future.
That'd be helpful.
And then we'll have a meeting with the committee before we come formally to the board.
Maybe we can do that on December 24th at 5 o'clock. That will expedite things. Faster.
We're going to have to find a time slot that meets both of our board members since schedules have changed since last year. So we'll work on that.
Okay. Item 5, Cuyahoga Valley Career Center Report.
We've had several meetings. We've had about 4 since we've last met. But we're just working on cleaning up some things that needed to be done with contracts. That's all I have to report. They're in process.
Okay. Thanks. Other board member reports? I will report. I've given everyone a copy of this document. May I get your appearance? This is a seminar I went to at the Pebble and Wagner put on about a month ago. I had a lot of interesting information. I found it very interesting. This is so look through there, see what's interesting to you. What I found most important of everything was the comment that you should always keep in mind long-term planning, especially in the context of negotiations. And long-term means at least 10 years out, so that you can see what the impact of decisions will have 10 years out, not just 2 years or 4 years out. And one of the analogies was picking an apple. Once you pick an apple, you can't put it back on the tree. So whatever you are doing, you've got to think long term.
Actually, apples are picked and then they are kept. You can keep them for years and years and years in the right atmosphere, gas atmosphere, so that's not a good analogy.
Thanks, Mike. I'll send a little email to
there's warehouses in Washington.
Wagner. Let them know that
they should call.
But they need a new
tell them to switch to banana.
Okay. I'm glad I was here tonight to learn that.
Sorry, it's just one of those facts.
He's always thinking like that. You know, he's just thinking. He's quick.
That was a STEM course.
And sharing.
Sharing.
I know, that was
that's
a
important.
STEM course. I just
there you go.
Your room.
So,
I used to sell
okay.
K-12 and the board. STEM.
Item M, the board acknowledges the decision of the, I'm sorry, other board member reports. We had our capital conference where we're down there. Anybody care to? I sent an email to members of the board just about some things that I learned. So, which again, Debbie, I didn't have, still don't have your email address and I have it before that you want to get it from.
I'm just curious what anybody thought of Dr. Jan Zhou. I'm not saying it's right. Zhao's talk. Did anybody else get a chance to see that?
No, Mr. Dosen and I attended that together.
Terrifying. I mean, it really was. I mean, it makes you immediately go, Common Core needs to be eliminated like this instant. And I mean, it was really a challenging talk. I'm obviously not an educator by education, but listening to him made a lot of sense. And the basic point of what he had to say was, we're crushing creativity, and without creativity, are we really giving a useful enough education for what people are going to need in the future? And I thought he made a pretty compelling argument that many of the things that we're doing don't seem to be exactly encouraging what our youth is going to need going forward.
But he
also said that, you know, people think, oh, the, in the heyday, our education system was really good. And he says, no, it was bad. He says, it's always been bad. You know, and then he rolls out statistics that show, you know, like in 1964, out of 12 countries, we were 12th. So he was making the point that, you know, our system probably hasn't shifted that much over the years, but that when you look at some of the great companies and creativity that our country has created, and he put up one slide that showed, like, the number of patents, international patents per country, you know, and I mean, we blow China away pretty significantly. And it's that was some of the point is that it's not just the book knowledge, you know, that's going to be useful.
Talk about getting paid for unique talents, mm-hmm. like Kim Kardashian.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And the litmus test was Kim Kardashian does not live in her parents' basement. So
that's the goal.
The goal is, don't. That's what he said. The goal is don't live in your parents' basement. You want your kids to not live in your basement.
Nice.
I think Dr. Kalibek might want to. We're reading.
Please, I need to speak up on behalf of all of the teachers of our school system. Creativity is alive and well in the Brooksville-Broadview Heights City Schools. Case in point, walk in tonight into any of the six schools, and on the walls you will see projects, art, things that will blow your mind in terms of the creative energy of our students. Musical performances, drama, artistic competitions that our students enter. We have not taken the cuts that many districts have taken to slash and dice the creative programs that we offer across the board. So we stand strong with creative pursuits, and our young people win honors every year in that area. So yes, there are districts that have taken it totally out of their curriculum, and they are left with bare bones, but not in this district. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, and I apologize. And I think it's more, because I'm also reading one of his books, and just more the fact that the more that we're going to all the standardization, just in general, I'm not talking specifically our school district or anything, but just nationally, it's a little scary that we're trying to push everybody out the same end.
Well, the sausage maker.
One of the luxuries we have here, though, is over the past decades, the OGT was Ohio standard, right? And we didn't let that lower the bar here. That was a standardized test that some districts were claimed to be teaching to. Hardly. You know, that was not our objective.
I think that, not to make the meeting go too long, but the board should be pat yourselves on the back a little bit for what you've done with the strategic vision component. There's components in that, the STEM programming, the creativity, the inclusion of more parents involved in the process is extremely important when you think about creativity and providing these opportunities for students. We also have, with our PLCs that the board and the teachers have worked together to create, we've offered more time for our teachers to talk about creative ways in the classroom, creative opportunities for students in the real curriculum, so to speak, not just those extra things that happen outside the classroom. So, like Carla is saying, we have people working very hard on making sure that the classroom environment is problem-based, provides many different opportunities for kids to learn in many different ways, and we are targeting students with our response to intervention work that we're doing in our school district to assist those who maybe are not doing as well as we would like them to do. So your point is well taken, though, Mr. Ziegler, because they do talk about in other countries where the United States seems to be doing more with testing, countries that are competitive and that are thinking about the future are doing less with testing. And more creativity and more opportunities for students to follow their passions as opposed to a standard set of curricular items. And that seems to be what has made our country great, and that is this gentleman's concern, is that if we get too far away from that creativity and offering kids opportunity to see things in different ways, that will be problematic for us long term, just from a security, the capitalist system. Thrives on that.
You need entrepreneurs.
Yes.
I went to one from Bay Village put on, and they were talking about the Common Core, and they were saying how the curriculum has been dumbed down, some people feel. But they were explaining that it allows depth. Mm-hmm. that it's Common Core looks at specific things rather than before it'd be all these like very like line items that you would just go through and never go. But now you are allowed to have depth. And I don't know, is just as an educator during the day, I find it, I like it. I really embrace it. And I know I'm a year into the STAR testing. We're the district I'm in, they're another year ahead. And now we're using that and analyzing that data. So the things that we're doing on this board and that, you know, that STAR testing that we just bought, it's going to take time to see how that tool works, but it's going to work really nicely. And it is an extra test. 12 minutes is what it takes the average kid to take those tests. And it's good use if once you learn how to use it in your teaching. So it's just it's a curve. And a lot of new things have been heaped upon educators, and I think, you know, our teachers are definitely rising to the occasion, but it's just going to take time to reap what we've done. We'll see.
Well, there's pros and cons, and keeping an awareness of the pros and the cons is probably a healthy tension.
Well, to quote Tony the Tiger, we're doing great. But we can do better, and we will. We'll keep on progressing.
The other one that I saw that I thought was interesting, this might be to you, Rich, more. Are you familiar with the Fairport Harbor OTES system that they use?
No, because we've just chosen to use the state system that goes directly to the report where it's supposed to report.
Well, I think their stuff does do a lot of it just might be worth a video rather than having people have to sit in the classroom.
That would be a contract.
No, I know. But you guys have been discussing. It just sounded like it made sense because rather than sitting watching somebody do it, they could get it filmed. And if they didn't like it, film it again. They're learning from watching themselves. So by the time they turn something in, it's probably going to be pretty darn good. But what's wrong with that if they've already recognized mistakes? It just sounded pretty interesting. I don't know. I'll give you the information then if you want.
I did sit on the last avenue where you could sit and talk to people on ODE. I went and sat with somebody from Gifted Education and talked to them. There's change that's coming in January, and it's how we service our children in Gifted. They're, again, rolling out this idea of flexibility, but they're not going, you know, the way you service kids is going to be changing, and it's going to allow you flexibility. And that's going to be rolling out 2014, 2015, I believe. But, you know, how we do business now with our STEM, there might be more opportunity on how we are servicing our gifted kids.
Anything else?
Sure.
Okay. Item N, the board acknowledges the decision of the expulsion officer as a result of the expulsion hearing held on November 1. 2013. Item N, I will now entertain a motion to move to executive session to consider the appointment, employment, or compensation of a public employee as per board policy 0166, item A. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Tryon?
Yes. Passes 5-0. We will now be in executive session. No further business of the board is conducted this evening. Thank you.
40 minutes, 60 minutes at best. Seminar. You have to get